You're listening to another episode of JB versus Everybody. Yay! And now, here's your host, Dr. Brown.
Why, hello, wonderful people. Welcome back to another episode of JB versus Everybody. I am your host, Dr. Brown, also known as Old Man Sloth. And I have something. I never thought I was going to do it, but I said, F it, I'm going to do it. I've been receiving so many text messages, emails, people contacting me on my social media site. And I said, you know what? F it, I'm going to do it. But you know what? I need support. Because you know what? I'm not brave. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a brave person, you know? And I need my people to have my back. So with that being said, let me say hello to Dr. KB. Say hello to the people.
Hello, 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 hello. I wanted to say a little hello to my friends in Germany, Guten Tag. Hola to all my friends in Spain, and Viva la Mexico, and my friends in Canada, all around the world. Let's go. Let's
do this. And they absolutely appreciate you. And I'm so... I'm so happy to have you on because I have somebody that is, this might be the most difficult guest I've ever had on, but let me start by saying that this individual is by far one of the most beautiful people inside and out, a professional, a amazing individual, but there's always a curveball. There's always a curveball. This is the person that forced me into retirement. With that being said, let me say hello to Miss Marquita. Marquita, say hello to the people.
Hi, everybody.
Well, thank you.
Hola.
I appreciate you having me here.
And you know what? I appreciate you because this was difficult for me. It was difficult to bring you on knowing that you are the person that forced me into retirement. And I don't want people to get this misconception. What I learned with my experience is that I need to be better. I need to do better as a man. I need to do better as a potential person that people can date. So I said, you know what? Help me help the audience. Marquita, can you help me on this journey? Can we explore some dating concepts and themes that you can help me become a better person?
I don't think the issue is that you need to become a better person, but I will help you as much as I can. I need help too.
That's why we have Dr. KB here with us, our dating expert and specialist.
Wow. Thank you. I don't know what to say to that. That's not true, but I appreciate you.
Okay. Well, that's
shout phenomenal. Out to my people in Ireland.
Thank you, sir. So let's start simple, right? Let's start really basic. And I'll start with you, Miss Marquita. What are your thoughts on sex on a first date?
My thoughts are do it, but be ready for the consequences.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little shocked at that response. So could you elaborate, please, for our audience?
So what I mean by that is that you should, I don't think you should have a rule that you're just not going to have sex on the first date. I think that if you do it, if you're actually feeling it, the chemistry is there, everything is there. I don't think there's a problem with you doing that. But be ready for the consequences because you don't know what that other guy's intentions are. You have to, I mean, unless you guys already have an agreement that you're both not looking for anything serious and you're just dating for fun, then you don't really have to think that far. But if you're really into this person and you want to have sex, do it, but be ready for the consequences. But it's probably better if you don't.
I'm in a state of shock.
Depending on how you feel about this person.
Agreed. I would like to think that, you know, of course you have that physical attraction with the individual. There's at least some sort of conversation just in terms of course, the protection. And you would like to maybe even have, I don't know, a background of their health. Dr. KB, like, what are your thoughts? Because again, I'm kind of like just dumbfounded. I was not expecting that response right out the gate.
That's not how I would play it, but it depends on people's scenarios and people's, I mean, you have to really be blown over for that scenario. Given that we're in a pandemic, I just haven't seen, you know, it's almost like the old days,
more difficult.
Like the old days don't even seem like they're real anymore. It's like, wait, people used to do that? And then they would just, there'd be like hundreds of people in like one little tiny space, let alone like actually like doing anything else besides that. So I'm just far removed from that. Maybe when we replay this in 2021, around this time, we'll be like, yeah, you know what? Let's YOLO, right? But I just almost didn't even see that anymore. I don't see that, at least not for another year or two. But I mean, people also, you know, some people live by different codes, right? You only live once. Some people are trying to get the most out of life for any chance they get. And if they feel like they have a magic moment, they'll do it. Or they'll at least seek to see if it's worth their while. And some people even have like long-term success. I've heard stories of people having long-term success and becoming, you know, a couple, an item, married, with kids and everything. So it's a possibility. I just haven't explored that one yet.
Very rare, but it happens. And I am definitely talking about pre-pandemic.
Yes. Okay.
Then I will say that the times that, I mean, the very, very few times that has happened, it was probably with someone where I already knew the person and I liked them a lot and we've been talking and then we finally went on this date and it was an amazing date and, you know, it happened. And other times it was probably with someone where I was like, I knew this is not going to go anywhere, but we're really physically attracted to each other. So then it happened. But I also wasn't going to go anywhere. So there was no real disappointment after
that. Don't mind me, Dr. KB and Miss Marquita. I'm just taking notes here.
Noting. Yeah, I see that.
So I have a theory, right? Let me share my theory with you. And you can let me know if maybe my theory is outdated. And, you know, if I decide one day to come out of retirement, you know, maybe I have to throw this theory out the window. So I always believe that there's a 2-week window, right? If I date somebody and I can smash within 2 weeks, I believe that they're not long-term potential. Like, I just believe that, you know what, if I'm able to smash within the first date, then you know what? They're probably being smashed on other first dates. So God knows what they're doing. So in my head, I just believe that, you know what? Yeah, I'm good. I'll have sex with them, enjoy myself, and then I'll move on. Like in my head, I already said, you know what? There's no potential here. Like I'm good. Is that crazy to think that way? I don't know who wants to take that first.
Ladies help first. Me.
Always ladies first. Marquita, am I crazy to think that?
I think there's just so many other things you need to take into consideration. What if within those 2 weeks you went out with this girl about 3 times already?
That's a fair assessment and a fair question. But still, it's just, I believe that there is a benefit to waiting.
No, I definitely think there's a benefit to waiting. And I, most of the time... And because I'm dating to get married. So right now I don't see me having sex on the first date at all. But I, you know, if I really like someone and I feel like it's going to go somewhere, I would, you know, I would definitely hold off and making sure you have a strong connection before going that route.
Dr. KB,
any
thoughts as a professional?
I cannot get Madonna's physical attraction out of my head ever since you guys started saying physical attractions lead to first dates. But
wait, Adonis, like a guy?
What do you mean?
No, Madonna, the great Madonna.
Oh, okay, good. Just want to make sure.
Of Super Bowl fame and of, you know.
It's a judgment-free zone, but I just want to make sure for clarification from
my audience. In the 80s. But I would say that, again, it's just a value system, I would say. I don't want to sound like it's a cop-out, but people have different things that they're looking for. Like if you're saying, like if Dr. JB is saying that it's 2 weeks, like why 2 weeks? That's such an arbitrary number. Why not 3 weeks? Why not 1 week? Why not 10 days? Like where do we come off with these random numbers that we just decide to base our entire life principles on. Not to say like this is not a JB versus numerology episode, but it's one of those scenarios where you have to just consider like where are the numbers that we just take and say, this is my rule for, okay, I met somebody and day 11, well, that's not gonna, we're gonna have to cut this off because I mean, mm-hmm. it's 12 days. Meanwhile, they don't even know that this whole, you know, system, value system exists and they're just living their life. But I would say it's more than that for me. Like it's not even just like, let's say you end up in that scenario where, you know, first date, first time you're out, you know, you do it. It's more of a, what are those next, honestly, I would say, what are those next 2 weeks? Since we're using that 2 week platform, what are those next 2 weeks look like? Are you guys in communication a lot? Are you having real conversations? Are you getting to know each other? Or is it just like, oh, you know, we're just having like surface level conversations, or maybe we're not having any conversations. Maybe it's, and also, you know, in the pandemic, you know, you spend a little bit more time on the phone, like doing more digital work. So you're not necessarily, you know, seeing people like you would normally see them. Maybe in the old scenario, you know, you guys might live in the same town or you work in the same area. So you might catch each other after work, maybe once that week, and then get a follow up and you have a better understanding of each other. But who knows, you know, so that's, okay. So that's really where my thought.
That's fair. So the 2 weeks came from because, again, one of my ideologies, I believe that you can get a pretty good idea of a person, of what they're about within 2 weeks. 2 weeks of consistent talking to someone, you can pretty much get to or understand the red flags. You can understand why they're single. You can understand like so many different things. So I feel like 2 weeks is enough time. For me, again, that may fluctuate for other people. They may need 3, 4, or 5 weeks. I think I just have a better understanding of what a person's about within the first couple of weeks. So that is why the 2 week window is my particular rule.
Would you consider making it 3 weeks or 1 week after this conversation?
But also, yeah, it's like, what happens that third week? All right, now I'm now I'm ready to smash. Like, I don't, now I can take her more seriously. Why not use it? Why don't you say 3 dates maybe, or you know what I mean? Something like that. So this strict, I just think this strict timeline is arbitrary. Like Jim said,
it's not necessary that it's strict. It's the fact that, to your point, I know from a few conversations what a person's about. I believe, again, this is just my own personal belief, that I was gifted by the good Lord to have a very good understanding of people. And I don't, like, I can tell after 2 or 3 conversations, I know someone's full of shit. I know someone's wasting my time. I know if somebody just wants something in general, if, you know, they want $5 from me so they get some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I know if they want to network with me so they can, you know, move up a corporate ladder. Like, again, that's just me personally and my beliefs and my skill set. So that's why 2 weeks is my just general rule of thumb. To your point, yeah, I could be just two. It could be 2 dates within those 2 weeks. But again, I have an idea. Like, I know. And from talking to people, you have an understanding. Like, again, let's segue into it. Let's kind of talk about red flags. When I talk to someone, I pick up on people's mannerisms. I pick up on what people are about. You can get an idea for red flags. When you talk to someone, when you start to date, you can honestly understand why a lot of people are single. Like, do you agree with that, or do you think I'm just making shit out of my ass?
I agree, but you realize that your whole, you know, timeline in theory is based on it's based on the fact that you need to be talking consistently to that person within those 2 weeks. And I would say some, depending on the situation, there's guys that, you know, the first 2 weeks we're not talking that much, and then it gradually becomes more and more consistent.
Yeah.
More and more.
That's fair.
More and more.
More and more.
Yeah.
Okay. More and more. That's fair. And Dr. KB, would you agree to that?
I would say yes. You can. They don't all, you know, every race is not ran the same way. You can't just say like, okay, maybe 2 dates, maybe, you know, you start off hot and then all of a sudden it peters out after a month, right? As you start to get to know the person, even though those first 2 weeks, as you're saying, were really good. And then there's something else you just didn't catch, you know, these days, you know, it could be somebody in a Ponzi scheme. It could be somebody in a pyramid scheme. It could be somebody in some Forex trading gone wrong, so on and so forth. And other times it's just a slow build. It's like, hey, I met this person. I didn't even know much about them. But then, you know, maybe a month, 2, 3, even a year maybe. And then even though like you're not waiting on that, but like it just happens that way. So there's multiple ways to skin a cat, as they say. So
I would say don't leave
any stone unturned. Just make sure that, you know, you're communicating if you're both.
And there's so many different forms of communication right now that everybody's doing something different. Like some people, I like a call now and then. I don't need to text you every single day, or we don't have to continue conversation every single day. Everybody has different preferences in terms of their communication. I'm laughing because you keep on note taking this.
Because this is important stuff, because I want to understand, I want to learn, you know, and just in terms of what's the proper etiquette from a communication perspective, because I know from my experience, and I only talk about my experience, some people, they don't like when, you know, you hit them up and then you respond right away. Like, I know that that's an issue with people. I know some people, some women in general, they like that chase. You know, you probably heard that a few times. You know, they want to feel chased. They want to feel like, you know, there's some sort of whatever you women call it. I don't know. But other women, they want, you know, that gratification right away. They want, okay, if I hit him up, I want a response within 5 minutes. So it's trying to understand that individual and what they like. So can you help me understand what is the proper etiquette to this shit? Like, this shit is very confusing. And as a person that's been out the game for so long that may possibly get back into the game in 2021, help me.
So do you think it's reasonable if you're talking to someone and you guys just met, do you think it's reasonable to expect them to respond right away just because they have a phone and they can text? Do you think that's reasonable?
So I guess that, you know, that's a great question. I think it always depends on, there's a few different factors to that. So like,
and you just met this person. Sometimes so, someone you just met, you're not.
Yeah. So fair. So the situation here is I just met this individual and I don't know, maybe I had a conversation with them. We exchanged numbers and we're interested to see if there's potential of something that can go further. Right. That's our situation. That is what we're. So for me personally, right, I literally have the phone in my hand 24/7 because it's for work. So I'm always working on my phone. So if someone hits me up, I'm going to respond. And I'm also one of those people that have like OCD that I can't have notifications on my phone. It shit drives me nuts. So I can't be that person. Yeah. So I can't be that person that I get a message and then like I open it to see that it's red, you know, to show that it's red, and then just not respond to it, because what's going to happen? I'm just not going to respond to it. But that's me as, you know, just me being JB. But I know that a lot of people aren't like that. Like, I know a lot of women that I've spoken to that, you know, when they show me their phone, there's literally like 4,000 messages, and they'll get around to it when they feel like it. So I think every individual is different. And then especially when you're starting that to get to know phase, like, I don't know what Marquita likes. Marquita doesn't know what JB likes. You know, Chim doesn't know what whoever likes. Right. So that becomes a little bit difficult. So I guess that's my question for you is, how do you know that? Or like, what is that etiquette just in general? Like, how do you feel somebody out? Help me.
So I think I'm a little bit in the middle with the whole, you know, I don't really care if there's notifications on my phone and I don't respond to everybody right away. I will say I have to be really into you and we have to really have built some type of, you know, connection where I'm going to expect a response within an hour. And I reasonably, I just don't really expect that. So if you're hitting up this girl and you're responding to her right away, right? And she's responding right away. That looks like you guys still, they look like the both of you have the same communication style, right? But if you're texting her and she's not responding right away, and it's like an hour, maybe even 2 hours, she's responding. Doesn't that tell you, okay, you know what? She's not really the type that wants like this back and forth text every two minutes. So I'll, you know, let it breathe a little bit so we can have more of a flowing conversation.
That's a great question. And apparently that's something that I know I personally need to learn about, because that's something that's difficult. I don't know. Then that's why I brought in the experts. Dr. KB, do you have anything that, you know, you can help me with? Please help me be great.
I was gonna say nothing that's self-incriminating. No, I would say communication for sure. But also, like, because of you know, the range of people that you may date, there are, whether you're dating someone who's a millennial or Gen X, Gen Z, you have to know, and also that what range it is. You have to kind of know, like, what they usually use to communicate. And sometimes it's just like, hey, what are you, like, some of your favorite platforms, right? If people are using different platforms, like if they're like, okay, I'm usually active on IG, I'm usually active on, you know, TikTok, then it kind of gives you an idea. Or obviously Facebook, another one. So Twitter. I think that will give you a good idea of, okay, this person may communicate this way a little bit more. They may be a little bit more digitally inclined, whereas others may be a little bit less inclined like that. They may be more on the phone. Hey, I would like to meet in person. Like, I know people who they like to meet in person more so than anything else. If you can, of course. Now,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, especially now, it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, if you have, and also not only that, like, even like if you have distance, right? Like, let's say you're already talking to somebody and they live far, you know, like in a place like New York City. They say a long distance relationship is a relationship between two boroughs, right? Or if you're in LA, if you're on East LA versus West LA, that you might not see that person until the weekend because you're not fighting through that traffic. So those things all factor into like how, you know, how you communicate. If it's somebody who's like down the street from you, then yeah, of course, you know, you probably have a lot more, you know, impersonal communication, and that person may be a different person, you know, when they're in person, when, as opposed, like, when they're distant, they're ready to talk on their phone, they're ready to like respond, but you know, it's not the same.
But what's your expectation when it comes to when you're talking to someone, when you're dating? Like, and the same question for JB, because I'm figuring out what
I would say that we probably have to.
If you communicate with someone a certain way, is it your expectation that they're going to do the same exact thing?
No, I think at some point, probably within 2-3 weeks, we probably have a good understanding. Like, okay, right. What's best? Like, I would even text you, like maybe on the phone, like, hey, what's your best communication? If you're going down that road, sometimes people are distant on purpose. You know, they may have some other situation that, you know, even if you may have popped up and they're excited to see you or they're excited to hear from you, they may be trying to close out some other situation that they don't necessarily want to tell you about just yet. So they're not necessarily, or they may be in some other thing, you know. So like, there are other, you know, things that we don't even see on our own end. But as long as you're keeping it, you know, a buck in front of the person, you're telling them how things are, what you expect. Relatively, you can't be like, yo, I expect this, that, and third. You don't know the person like that. But just like, hey, like, it'd be great to talk to you this time. It'd be great to like have a conversation about this. Maybe, you know, even if it's not like some people don't like when you tell them, hey, I have like 30 minutes to talk, or I have like an hour or whatever.
But
some people just like free flowing.
I have to interject here, but like, isn't it just better in general just to keep it a buck with the individual? So here's the thing, like, me personally, I don't want to ever waste somebody else's time. Right. So, you know, to that scenario, I'd rather someone just keep it a buck with me and keep it a being like, listen, Jay, this is not going to work. Right. I feel like that is, you have your closure, because I'm a big believer having closure. I think anytime you talk to someone, regardless of how short it is, how, you know, long it is, I always feel that you should have closure, right? So that both individuals know where they're at and you can both move forward, right? So that's, again, that's my big believer. In general, I just believe that you should always treat people the same way that you want to be treated, right? So I this is just my own personal beliefs. I believe that if someone hits me up, I'm going to respond to them because I wouldn't want them waiting around for me, you know, waiting for my message, right? Regardless how little, how slow it is. But that's just my mentality. So if someone hits me up, I'll let them know. I'll just say, hey, I'm busy. I'll get back to you, you know, if I'm truly busy or doing something. But I'm at least going to give them a response. But I know a lot of people just aren't like that. So is that crazy? Like, should I just say, you know what? I got this text. Fuck it. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna read it. So they know that I read it, and I'm just gonna go about my business, and I get back to it when I'm eating dinner.
How are they gonna know you read it? Do you put the read thing on?
Well, for me, it's like I never change my default. So yes, it is on. It's no big deal for me. Like, I don't care.
Why don't you turn it off?
Because I don't care whether you know whether I read it or not.
No. But if you sent me a text message, right? If I read it, so you're not thinking about whether or not I could be doing anything.
Facts.
If you don't know if I read it, don't you think that would lessen your anxiety a little bit? I guess
that's the thing. Like, I don't have anxiety. Like, when I text someone and they don't respond, that's fine. Like, in my head, I just, okay, they're busy or they're doing something. What I'm just saying is that if you text me and I can answer your text, I'm going to answer your text. I think a lot of people in general play that game of, okay, he texts me, I'm going to get back to him in a couple hours just to show that, you know, I'm not readily available.
I mean, I don't know if that's a game. I mean, I will say the whole thing about being upfront about it, like, all right, this is not going to work. I don't need you. I'm very bad at that. I would have never guessed. I feel like if you should be able to see if I'm not someone who responds right away all the time. Maybe I'll respond right away to one thing and later in the day, I'm not responding as much, but I'm responding. I think at that point you should kind of see what my mannerism is when it comes to texting.
So, okay, I understand that and I appreciate that and I respect that. But I think, so this is funny, and Dr. KB, like, this actually kind of goes back to, you know, some of a previous episode when I had our guest Brooke on, just in terms of expectations, right? I don't think you know people's expectations. Like, you don't know what somebody wants from another person. And I think, you know, that's where you really need to have at least some form of communication. Like, I know a lot of individuals I've spoken to in the past, they said, hey, like, don't be offended if I don't respond to you in a couple of hours. Like, you know, don't take that personal. And that's when we first started talking. And I respect them. I'm like, all right, cool, no big deal. Versus, you know, hey, I'll just respond to you when I feel like it. But again, you know, when you talk to someone, like, that's their prerogative. And I'm not going to change who I am as a person. Again, I just, my own personal beliefs, I believe that, you know, I try to treat people the same way that I will want them to treat me. So again, I'm not saying that I disagree with anything that Dr. KB or anything that you're saying, Ms. Marquita. All I'm saying is that I always would treat people with that intention, that I know that, okay, you hit me up and the phone's in my hand, I'm going to respond. But this is good. This is good conversation. This is what I think our audience needs to understand. So, you know, so we kind of explored this communication aspect, right? Great. Phenomenal. So let's pretend now we move the scenario along and you guys are starting to date. And let me take another step back. In terms of the pool of talent, right? So I believe that in general, this is another reason why I retired, is because, you know, when you have exceptional women like Marquita that's around and it's not a success for you, it's like, okay, all I can do is just do worse. So why would I even entertain that, right? So in terms of a pool of talent, I think it's difficult. So what is your thoughts on dating somebody with a kid? And when do you feel it's an appropriate time to meet that child? Marquita, can you start us off for us, please?
Sure. All right. So I believe maybe only one person with a kid.
Uh-huh.
I think so. And that was a couple of years ago. And it was, at that point, it was something I said I would never do. So at that point, I was maybe like 33 and I'm 37 now. So I think it's unreasonable given the pool of men that are out there that are single, that are Black.
Okay. Hold on. We'll explore that later, but continue.
It's highly unlikely that it would be fair to myself to just rule out dating men with kids.
Uh-huh. So let's pretend.
So at my age, I would do it, but it really may depend on the situation. Like, what is the situation? Is it one kid? Is it three kids? Is it how many baby mothers I might be dealing with?
Okay. So let's play a scenario. So you're dating a person and they say they have kids, but they don't tell you how many kids that they have. They just say they have kids and they say they're not going to introduce the kids to you because, you know, they don't want to let the kids down and they want to get to know you first, see that you're a good person, that you're not psychotic and crazy before they bring you around the kids. And then you learn that they have three kids. They just said they have
kids. That doesn't make any sense, first of all.
How? Maybe
no, people definitely go about
people do that. Like you. That's
they won't tell you how many kids they have.
They won't tell you that they even have kids. Maybe the first times you meet them.
Right? Oh no, that I understand. But if you
so they want to vet you first.
Kids, you're going to tell me how many kids you have.
Okay, so is this a Marquita thing? Because you know you do. You're like you have this alpha. What do you mean about they're going to tell you? And you're like, going to force them to tell you that they have kids?
I don't think. What I'm saying is, I don't think this is going to go anywhere if you're not going to tell me how many kids you
have. I am definitely staying retired.
What?
Let me just interject and say this.
Please,
is that unreasonable? That's not unreasonable.
No, a lot of things you're saying are reasonable, but that one was questionable.
Yeah, you can't make somebody tell you how many kids they have. I mean, that's just on them whenever they feel comfortable in doing so. But there are scenarios, I will have to say, there are scenarios for sure where people don't tell you like that they even have kids. You might even have to talk to them three times before you even hear them, because they're not trying to they're still trying to be out on their own. They're not trying to like put that in the space, because that might change the dynamics of the situation. So they're much more likely to be hesitant in doing so.
I mean, I guess.
Are you looking at us like we have like three heads?
Because first of all, if I'm dating a guy, that's going to be a very, especially now, not maybe when I was 25, but especially now, the first couple of questions I'm going to ask you is whether or not you have kids. If we're talking about, you know, going on a date on the first date, something like that. I'm going to expect to know that before we hang out.
Okay. Interesting.
I haven't had that issue with, if a guy tells me I haven't had a guy ever lie to me and tell me he didn't have kids and did, or lie to me about how many kids he had.
You know what, Dr. KB? I'm going to do something a little bit different than I normally do. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm actually having this outstanding conversation. And Marquita, I find you very interesting. And I feel like I have to kind of, can we focus on you a little? Like, I want to focus on you a little. So based on our conversation so far, please feel free to correct me if I'm saying anything that is wrong or inaccurate. So right now you are single and you're dating.
I am very single.
Okay. I want to understand why. Because from our first initial conversation many, many, many moons ago, this is, again, before retirement, I thought you was a catch. I thought you were phenomenal. I said, oh, this is a very interesting person. I wouldn't mind being out in public with them, being seen. So that's a positive. You have a nice voice, which would make me want to talk to them more. That's a whole nother theory, but I'm not going to go into that at the current moment. But there's always a but. But there was a few red flags that I seen. And I'm curious now.
That you see now or that you saw at the time?
I seen back then. But I kind of just
maybe
said,
you should give people like the backstory.
Okay, I'll give the backstory. So as usual, so this is before I realized that I had to follow the path of the sloth, not slore, as some people mentioned, the path of the sloth against the Brooklyn accent. I just want to make sure that I enunciate correctly. And, you know, I had the opportunity to hang out with Dr. KB in person, which is always a phenomenal thing. And he brought some friends who are really wonderful, outstanding individuals. And one of those wonderful, outstanding individuals happened to be Miss Marquita. And I said, wow, Dr. KB, she is beautiful. And then I said, oh shit, I had a conversation with her and she's actually extremely intelligent. I need to see where this goes. So naturally, I did my best and my poor attempt of trying to get Miss Marquita out and potentially date her. And I had the opportunity to go out with her. And it was cool. Nothing phenomenal or anything like that. And it just didn't go nowhere. It fizzled out. And that was it. And then I realized, JB, you don't have the stuff. You don't have Michael Jordan's secret stuff anymore. And you need to retire. You need to put your jersey in the rafters because you could not seal the deal.
Why did you let him do this?
Do what? Miss Marquita, do you have another version of what occurred? Because
that's what happened.
What am I saying that is outlandish? Please.
No, what I just said was, I said, Chim, why did you let him do this? As in, like, why would you stop dating? But because we did only go on one date. So, but I do want to give my explanation, but go ahead. You can continue.
I'm the king of one dates. So let me just add that little caveat. My one date game is elite. Okay, but usually, you know, I can't even say usually. I'll just say that my one date game is elite. And that's fine because my audience loves this shit. So I will give you the floor and you can tell a little bit of the backstory. And it's yours.
Okay.
Humorous.
What you said is pretty accurate. And I liked JB. I thought he was very attractive. We had great conversation. And then we went out on our first date. So, and then yes, and then it fizzled out. But you have to understand, I don't think I explained this to you at that time, that I was not in a place to be dating anybody. Emotionally, mentally, I was not. Like, I had went through a breakup a couple months before. I was devastated. Chim is very familiar with what that situation was.
I don't know who this Chim guy you speak of, but
doctor.
If you gave me his contact info, I'll hit him up to get, you know, some more information. But you did mention that on our interaction. You did mention that, and I respect that, and I appreciate your honesty.
Right. So I couldn't, like, so, you know, I don't want to sound cliche, but it really just had nothing to do with you. I was not mentally in a place to be dating anybody.
Which is my game, just for the record, for my audience. Apparently, I am the king as well of meeting people, meeting great people at the wrong time. That is also one of my standards. So, which is great. But again, so for my audience that have been asking a million times, why am I retired? Again, this is the reason. I've seen someone phenomenal, an extremely beautiful person. One day I'll put up the audio so you can see this. I mean, the video, the visual, excuse me. Again, extremely intelligent, extremely beautiful. Somebody that you would like to be seen in public. I'm like, oh shit, that's your girl? That's your wife? Yes. Yes, it is. Salute me. But it's cool. So now that you've moved on, I like to think that you healed as a person. I could be wrong. Can we go there? Are you more open now to dating and a potential future relationship with humans?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. KB, let's explore this a little further. Let me put my relationship guru cap on. And let's explore Miss Marquita. Okay. Oh yeah, we're going there, buddy. We're going there. So I have a question for you. Do you watch reality dating shows or reality shows in general?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you like about those shows?
I don't know. I mean, I find it entertaining. It can be relatable a little bit, but I think it's interesting to see. I know everybody says it's fake storylines and stuff like that, but I just find it entertaining. And it is a way to kind of just shut off. Like, if you just don't want to watch anything too serious, you can kind of just get, you know.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Dr. KB, any thoughts before I proceed?
What? Wait.
Reality TV.
I
watch a couple of reality TV shows. Not often. Not the only show that I still watch is Temptation Island. Oh.
Great show. That's
one of my favorite. One of my favorite shows. Period.
That. I haven't watched it.
It's a really good show. But the premise of these shows are just hilarious. In terms of whether it be something like Temptation Island, where people go as couples to an island resort, probably in Hawaii somewhere, and they try to like see if they're going to be tempted to like stay with the person or break up and find some new love. It's like a really in-depth look at people's psyche, the human psyche, in terms of like how do people act when they are wanted, especially wanted by people they don't even know, but the fact that they're just wanted, how they react, as well as like how people interact when they're all going for the same thing.
Interesting.
That's such a great point. And I know my audience right now is like, okay, JB, how did you shift from being retired into reality dating shows? I will bring it back together. So based on my research, knowing that Miss Marquita was coming onto the show, and I said, you know what? I have to, what is the appeal to these reality shows? And what I found based on my research is that reality dating shows can impact your relationships. It can impact your dating. It can impact you know, your perception of what a dream relationship is. So then I said, okay, interesting, JB. Maybe there's a correlation between Miss Marquita and her dating versus the reason why, you know, I don't want to say it, but she's still single. So I said, let me continue down this rabbit hole and this research. And I'm getting the stank look right now. Like, JB, you was not supposed to say that. Miss Marquita, is there anything you want to interject before I proceed?
I mean, I disagree to an extent.
Oh, let's please. Why do you disagree? Humor me.
Because I don't think I really think of my dating life when I'm watching a reality show. But I will say, I mean, you know, a lot of these things are, you know, I guess I am a romantic at heart. So maybe I do have high expectations when it comes to relationships. And could that be influencing me a little bit? I don't know. But I don't know.
The answer is yes, but continue. The answer is yes, but continue.
I thought of it that way.
So, Dr. KB, based on my research, there was a survey done a couple of years ago, and what they found is that reality TV encourages an unrealistic view of finding your dream relationship. I'm going to repeat that. Reality TV encourages an unrealistic view of finding your dream relationship. So, Miss Marquita, as someone that I hold on a very high regard, I'll put you on the pedestal of some of the best opportunities in my life. What are you looking for in a relationship? Let the list begin.
No, it's not a huge list. I mean, commitment, obviously. I want someone who has the same values as me, like wants to have kids. Security. I don't want someone who I have to wonder about, you know, what you're doing or what you want in life or where this is going to go in a couple of, like, I want.
You're talking about relationship security, not financial security, or both?
No, I mean, I don't mean financial security. I mean, yes, you should have a good, stable job, hopefully.
Hopefully. Please continue.
I mean security, like mentally and emotionally.
That's it? That's the only two things?
I named a couple of things.
You literally named two.
But someone who, you know, someone gave me this advice before, and I know it sounds very
cliche.
Regular, but, you know, someone said, like, you have to find someone that is good for you. So I think, meaning, like I said, having the same values, but also someone who will build you up, someone that you can depend on, trustworthy.
I'm counting right now, just so we're at four for the record.
I mean, I don't think I can get more specific than that. That's
basically. So right now it just sounds like you want someone that is a good person and that there's a level of security and comfort that you feel. So right now that seems pretty manageable. Right? On the surface. So you don't need to, I don't know, be like attracted to them. You don't need them to have a specific level of education. You don't need them to have, I don't know, like I was having a conversation with somebody, a dad bod versus an athletic bod. Like, none of that stuff is.
Yeah, I heard that conversation. It was weird.
All righty.
I like a dad bod, but whatever. But yeah, I know I would prefer someone that's within, that is Black. Same race as me.
Okay.
I have to be physically attracted to you. Yes. I have dated men that I was not physically attracted to their personality. That happened. What was the other
thing? So you don't think that there's any pitfalls of like the reality TV shows versus the reality of life? Because It like that to me, and again, I'm just learning from you because these are conversations that we never had and we never got to that point. So that's what I'm just trying to understand. So you watch these reality TV shows in your head, you're building up these, I don't want to say expectations, but I think that's the wrong word, but you know, a perspective of you thinking how things should be. So like, don't you think like there's a pitfall? Because you know, it's what you mentioned, a lot of these things are many of the candidates on these reality TV shows, like The Bachelor, for example.
Okay, but I'm not that unrealistic.
But I don't know. I'm asking you I'm coming to you for advice. I don't
because
know.
I think most of the reality shows are not necessarily dating reality shows. But when it comes to The Bachelor,
Bachelor is not dating reality show.
What?
I said The Bachelor is not a dating reality show.
It is, but I think that's probably the only dating reality show that I watch. All the other ones are not necessarily dating reality shows, but that is the most, you know, in terms of romanticizing the level of fantasy, like that is the top one that I do watch. So could it be influencing my potential relationships or how I view relationships? Maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
Took your glasses off and
I have to get
seriously contemplating. I don't know why.
I have to get focused right now. Again, because I find you to be a very interesting person and I want to learn so I can do better in the future. So I apologize for that. When you was growing up, I'm gonna get into your childhood now. When you were growing up, were you a big Disney person?
I was not.
Okay. Fair. Interesting.
I wasn't a big cartoon person. I was probably watching things I was not supposed to be watching.
Okay. Interesting. This is good information. And Dr. KB, the reason why I was going there is because I wanted to see if potentially there was like a deep-seated, you know, deep-rooted in terms of the whole Prince Charming, you know, like, do you believe that, you know, when something goes wrong, there's a person that's going to come and defeat the dragon and save you from whatever that is. So that's what I was trying to see, if there was like a little deep-seated, rooted within Miss Marquita. Because I'm lost right now. Like, I'm dumbfounded. Like, I don't understand based on your small list of just four things, like, you should be taken right now.
By the way, I have a question.
Please,
Bachelor versus, well, Bachelor versus Bachelorette. Because the thing is, like, these are reality dating shows, right? And they're mostly watched by women just on the numbers, right? But why is The Bachelor more popular than Bachelorette? I would figure Bachelorette.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah. Based on ratings.
Based on ratings. I would figure The Bachelorette would be more popular, a scenario where a woman is being fawned on by like 20 different guys. I don't understand why the women would prefer to watch on average.
And here we are.
A show with 20 women chasing after one dude.
Which is actually, that concept actually disgusted me initially.
At first.
And then I started watching it. But I think the reason The Bachelor might be more popular is because I think that, society thinks it's much more normal for women to be fighting over guys as opposed to a bunch of guys fighting over women and catfighting and, you know, over petty stuff. Because a lot of the arguments are within the house, when you're talking about absent The Bachelorette, when it's just those guys that are arguing, it's usually very petty shit and it's very unattractive, which is different from when you have a bunch of women fighting in the house.
But it's entertaining.
Society sees as much normal, unfortunately.
Intriguing.
Society. Always failing us.
Back to...
Yes, Ms. Marquita, back to what? Please, humor us.
I mean, so you're asking me the classic question of why I'm single?
Yes, because that is a great question. Because, okay, so let me... Can I be honest with you? Is that okay with you? Like, are you prepared for my honesty?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I took my glasses off, so you know I mean business, right? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let me stretch a little real quick before I get into my honesty bag.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe Chim can answer why I'm single, but I'll get back to that.
I don't. Who is this Chim? You keep bringing this person up. I don't know who he is.
Dr. KB can answer maybe. Okay.
Because clearly there's two different people here. And I know that I met you through Dr. KB. But who is like, is that another person that I need to hit up?
Dr.
KB, I don't know if you know Chim, but tell him to hit me up so I can get to the, you know, I need some more information.
Dr. KB.
I'm on it.
Okay, I appreciate you.
What's the question?
Well,
why is Miss Marquita single? So again, I'm going to backtrack and I'm just going to put Miss Marquita on the pedestal for this conversation that I personally think that she is, again, I don't have the visual. Again, this is just an audio podcast, so I apologize for that in the future, season two. She's like, I mean, like drop dead gorgeous. When I tell you drop dead gorgeous.
Guys, oh God, okay.
Again, so here's another
thing. But this is.
Shush, you. I'm talking about you. Miss Marquita is also very humble. So I salute her for that because a lot of women are not like that. So I salute you for that. She's drop dead gorgeous. She's extremely intelligent. Like the few times I actually had a conversation with her and I vividly remember, I remember arguing with her about Biggie. Like these are great conversations that we had, right? And she has good morals. She seems like just a good person. So, and she's a professional. She has a great job. She takes care of herself. She's thoughtful. So like there's a lot of great, you know, attributes or characteristics. So the question then becomes, why is she single? So my theory is that she's extremely picky. And she has the right to be picky because she has worked her way up to a certain point in her life where she can choose the best of the best that's available. That is my working theory. I do not know. I did not, you know, sit there and think about it for, you know, God knows how long. So Dr. KB, as a person that knows her, what is your reason? Because you have a much better relationship than I do. What is your thoughts on why Miss Marquita is single? And I would mute her so she can't interject you. So just be honest. Let's get to the shits.
I don't know.
Being honest. This is the honest hour right now.
Well, even in the honest hour, you have to just look. Much of dating is also a numbers game. She's already said that she's attracted to African-American men. And
okay.
If she's reached a certain status in her professional life, then she's probably looking for somebody who also either is attaining that status or has been at that level. Although she's given me a lower level, so she doesn't want to lower her standards.
The prospects get lower.
Oh yes, okay. So that's what I saw. All I saw was a hand going down. It's like, so that means bingo.
She's beneath a lot of people. Guys,
So when you're looking in that specific area, sometimes the prospects are lower just based on the numbers. And that kind of leads you to like be in a scenario where she could either settle or she has to expand the potential marketplace that she has. And that is a personal question for her to see if she wants to do that or how much time you want to do or you want to spend, or you'd have to then expand the geographic area sometimes, right? Or the
I'm going to interrupt you soon because me and my audience are getting frustrated. Because what you're doing right now is that you know why she's single, but you're respecting the relationship that you have with her by giving me the surface level answer. And then people like, you know who, are going to chastise me and say, hey, you didn't get to the shits. So I have to put down my journalist hand. Who's right now.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Randy.
Oh, yes.
Randy's
okay.
Randy's gonna hit me up.
Okay. Yes. Randy. So
Randy's gonna ask you.
Okay. Yes. Randy. Okay. Remembering that Randy is one of your biggest supporters and one of your biggest followers on this podcast, I would say it's just you either have to really go all out and expand the marketplace, or have to maybe be more aggressive. Because sometimes people just don't know what. Well, I've always heard this, and I hear this, and I say this as well. People don't know what they don't know. So, like, if they don't even know that you're there, they don't know that you just like you have to like maybe even advertise yourself, right? And not like in a salacious way, but just like maybe it has to be like online, especially now because like it's not like you're seeing people. And even if you do see somebody, like if you go out to your local supermarket, it's not like they probably can't even see you because you have a mask on. So you're not even in a position to really be seen. So you have to like now go more digital, is probably the best way to like really expand your marketplace.
And okay, I'm going to interrupt. I'm sorry, because again, this is just basura. This is pure and utter basura. And, you know, again, I respect
this. This is not what I meant when I said Dr. KB would know.
I get it. You know what? I'll go back to you. All right. I would like Miss Marquita. You know what? I respect what you're saying. I've respected this entire conversation. But here's my issue, right? I believe you're a wonderful person, like a person that someone can have a real legitimate future with. And if I can't understand why you're single, I can't be better in a sense of if I ever to meet someone like you, I can actually entertain coming out of retirement and potentially having a future with that person. So I this entire conversation of JB versus Marquita with the guest referee of Dr. KB, I need to understand what are you looking for in a person? Honestly, not those four dry ass surface level points that you provided, so that if I do meet someone like you in the future, I know my plan of attack and I can develop a strategy, because apparently that's what you need. Like, this is a war and I need a strategy. So help me be better.
Okay. I don't know if this is going to help you. So anyway, but I will say I
got shut down.
I agree. No, I'm just saying, I don't know if my situation is going to help you, but I am pretty picky.
Oh, shoot. There it is.
I am pretty picky.
Called it.
I am also someone, I am looking for someone that I need to be able to spend the whole day with you doing nothing and enjoy that time. Like, if I'm having a conversation with you, I need to feel high. Like, I need to feel stimulated. And that's how I know we have a good connection. And I've met guys like that. However, they are usually guys who are not emotionally ready to be in a relationship. That is the excuse that I've gotten multiple times.
But didn't you give that excuse to other people as well? I'm sorry. I'm just asking the question. Don't mind me.
So I'm going to tell you the difference, though. Because if I'm not emotionally ready to date you, I'm not going to spend time with you. I'm not a big people person. I don't want to waste anybody's time. Like you said, I'm not going to go there with you. I'm not going to waste your time. However, the guys that I have had spend time with where everything is great, they just don't want to put a title on what we're doing.
Okay.
So they continue to hang out with me. They continue to have conversations with me and they continue to date me, but they don't want to commit.
Okay. And
I told you, I said, when we went out, I said, I have very bad taste. I have bad taste.
So it's good to know that I am part of this bad taste. And no. Listen. This is my pod.
You are definitely not part of the bad taste.
Listen, Miss Marquita, I respect your comments. And this is good to know. So I will, this is my last question for you and for
Dr. This is a lot of black women who will tell you the same thing. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, apparently a lot of black women will say, you know what, JB is in bad taste. So this is good to know.
No,
No. So this is my last question again for Dr. KB and for Miss Marquita. Okay. So you're dating these people and you realize, you know what, this person is not for me. But they're a good person in general, right? Maybe you can actually build a friendship with that person if you want. So I've been having this conversation with a few people and I wanted you to help me. Do you believe that men and women can have platonic relationships?
100%.
Okay. So if you're attracted to one person and that person's attracted to you, do you genuinely believe that you guys could have a platonic relationship?
No.
Okay. This is getting interesting. Dr. KB, What are your thoughts before I proceed with my thoughts?
Yes, it can exist, but
okay. So yes, if you're attracted to that person and that person is attracted to you,
yeah, you can have a platonic relationship, but it can't. I don't know. It can't be like a It can't be like your best friend. It's got to be like someone you know. Someone like, in other words, you're not in a scenario where you're just constantly like running into this person. Like, oh, this is my best friend.
But no, but let's think. You started to date somebody, right? You had a couple of dates, and you said you both agreed that, you know what, this is not exactly what I'm looking for, but you value that person. Like, that person adds value into your life. You may be just good conversations, whatever the case may be, but you realize that, you know, you guys just don't mesh personality-wise, okay? And you say, you know, let's just continue being friends. And, you know, you may go out once in a while with a group of people. Hey, I'm doing X, Y, and Z. This is part of the interest, things that you like. Hey, you wanted to come by and hang out with us, right? That type of stuff. So you're telling me that if you are attracted to that person and that person is attracted to you, you guys can have a platonic relationship. That is what you're saying.
I believe so. It feels like it's a leading question, but yes.
It's an absolutely a leading question. This is what I do on my pod, bro. Dr. KP, you should know this.
I do.
So here's my theory. And I would like you guys to disagree with my theory or agree, because I am pretty sure it's accurate. I don't believe that if you're attracted to one person and that person's attracted to you, that you can have a platonic relationship. I think there's going to be a time where if the situation plays itself out, you're going to try to smash or they're going to try to smash you. I can't. Like, it's hard for me to disagree or to even think of a scenario where we're both attracted to each other and something doesn't happen. Even if it's just like that moment in time, I just find that very hard to believe. So, like, am I wrong with thinking that? Ms. Makita, I'll start with you, because I think you kind of agree with me.
No, I agree. I think unless you guys have history. So I know in situations where I've been friends with someone I was attracted to, and then maybe we did hang out, maybe we did do something and it just didn't work out, but we got to a point where we can be friends. I'm not friends with those people anymore. Like, it's not like a long lasting friendship. It usually will fizzle out because I'm going to go on with my dating life and that person's going to go on their dating life. And that's not really what we weren't really friends. We were two people who were attracted to each other, who were sort of dating. And I do think there's a difference between, if you're friends with, I can be friends with someone that I think is attractive, but not if I'm attracted to them and they're attracted to me and we're just going to be platonic. I don't think that's going to work, because I have to have a friend where, like, we're talking about, I'm going to talk to that person about dating. I want to be able to hang out with you and there's no confusion. So that's why I don't think that would ever work.
Would you agree to that, Dr. KP?
Yeah, I think, and that's why I said it's got to be a limited action. It's not like a scenario where you're just hanging out with the person 24/7, because that will eventually push you in that scenario where it's like a point of no return and something's going to happen one way or another. But if you're somebody, like, you're not to say you could be friends, but you're not in your each other's space all the time, then you could be friends. But in that, I know. Go ahead.
No, like, I'm listening and I understand and I appreciate the comments. I find that very difficult, personally.
Oh, it's difficult, but I'm saying you're not putting yourself. That's why I said the space.
I don't have to put myself out there, though. Like, in that sense, is that if someone is very attractive, or I feel that they're very attractive, because they might not be attracted to other people, but again, this is just my view based on my scale, and they may be attracted to me, I don't see how we can be friends. Mm-hmm. Like, there's going to be I don't know when, where, why, but there's going to be a situation that if I find you attractive and you find me attractive and it could go down, it's going to go down.
It's going down.
Just because. Like, it's just more of curiosity, to be honest. It's probably more curiosity. Like, fuck it, let's see if this goes someplace else. Especially the fact that, again, I'm talking about pre-retirement, not right now, current sloth mode. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm going to see where this goes, because, you know, a lot of the best relationships always happen based on friendship, right? So I just don't see a situation where a woman is extremely attractive and, or I'm attracted to her and she's attracted to me that we can be friends, realistically. I just don't see it. That's why me and Miss Marquita don't talk.
That's fair.
It's a fact.
Not fair.
How's that not fair?
I guess it's fair.
Miss Marquita, am I wrong by thinking this?
No, I said I agree with you. I agree.
So then what am I saying?
I mean, also, no, I mean, and look, we've been around each other where it wasn't, I mean, I didn't.
It was like twice.
What?
It's like twice I've seen you like in the last 9 years.
Okay. Well, yes. All right. Maybe 2 years. But yeah, maybe.
Almost. No, I've been retired for three. So it's like at least a solid 3 years.
Okay.
But we're not going to do the math here. But that's my point. My point to you
is... Have you not been on a date in 3 years?
You retired me, Miss Marquita. And I am thinking about
this. We need a whole other podcast about this.
We talked about it. You retired me. You were not available at the time. And that was probably when I was most open or most inclined to entertain actually dating somebody and being in a relationship and, you know, again, potentially getting married and so forth. So you were the window closed, and now I'm retired and I'm helping my audience learn about themselves with wonderful guests. And that is it. Real simple.
So you're retired right now, but if you met someone, you would not date them because you're retired?
That is correct. So thank you.
Gotta love a man with principles.
I hope that does not last long.
I just want to say thank you, Miss Marquita, for being the person that retired me. Salute to you. Namaste. Dr. KB, I will leave you right now. Do you have any last words for our audience?
Yes, I want to say bonjour, Haiti. We didn't shout out Haiti. And I also wanted to get privet for the people in Russia. But yeah, that's about it.
Gang, gang, gang. And Miss Marquita, any last words for our audience?
Guys, let's please convince JB to get out of retirement. Those are my last words.
Aloha, Hawaii.
I mean, I might as well be retired at this point.
No, Miss Marquita, because you have...
And I can't afford it. I want kids, so I can't even afford to do that.
Again, Miss Marquita, again, I will say this again in front of my audience. You are an amazing woman that has so much to offer somebody. And I pray that when you are ready to give yourself to that person, that they reciprocate, and appreciate everything you have to offer.
Same to you.
I'm retired. Don't
no.
Do that. Don't,
no,
don't,
no.
Don't wish that evil upon me.
JB versus Unretirement, episode 22.
Yes.
2021. With that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed the wonderful advice that Miss Marquita provided us, the wonderful advice that Dr. KB provided us. And I will see you wonderful people next week. Namaste. Enjoy the path of the sloth. Hey there, buddy. Yeah, you, right now, listening to JB versus Everybody. We appreciate the support. So please make sure that you subscribe, you're leaving comments, you're telling your friends about the podcast. And if you really enjoy what you're listening to, do us a favor. Take a screenshot, add us at JB versus Everybody on Instagram. We love to see it. We love to hear from you, the people. So again, we appreciate the support. Blessings to you all. And keep telling your friends so we can grow the audience and make this something really, really special.